You know, Christian songs and Christmas songs especially are a strange lot. Sometimes they're spoofs, like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, or All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. The new one is, I've heard it a couple of times, if it says some assembly required, it can't be Christmas. And it's another funny song. And some of them are classical works. Number 202 that we started with is an example of that. Mendelssohn was the songwriter and Charles Wesley was the author. But I think it's important to understand that there are also songs who reflect our culture, songs that reflect the ignorance of our culture, and songs that have a message to tell. I thought it might be useful this morning for us to take a couple of songs and look at words that we may not be aware of, and messages we might not be aware of. For instance, we started out with number 202, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You know what a herald is? We don't use the word herald a lot in our culture today. In ancient times, when a king was coming into an area, there was a person who went in front of him, called the herald, who would announce that the king was coming. So hark, the herald angels sing. Herald is a crier, is one who came in advance, who spoke of the fact that a king was coming. And this would have been a specific assignment to that individual. In the second verse, there's another reference that's kind of interesting. Hail the incarnate Deity. Remember John 1 and verse 14, where God came and dwelt among us. God became flesh. And the word incarnate means to become embodied in flesh. It's a description of what Jesus gave. And the word Emmanuel is used. It's used in quite a few places. In the Bible, it's used in Matthew 1 and verse 23. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it's kind of interesting that there was a prophecy. Remember, Isaiah was written long before anybody ever thought about Christmas. That passage says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child, and will give birth to a son and call his name Emmanuel. You realize how many centuries were between the time of the writing of Isaiah and of what you read in Matthew. An interesting perspective. In the third verse of that song, it talks about healing in his wings. As end of the third verse. Life and light he brings to all, risen with healing in his wings. So are you visualizing Jesus having wings? The word that is used there is Eber in the original language, and it means from strength. Healing from his strength. I don't know why Wesley chose wings, except that in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, there was a prophecy to that effect. Jesus is risen with the strength to bring light and life to us all. When I hear that song sung, or when I sing it myself, sort of glossed over those understandings, but it has a tremendous message. Sometimes the words are there to encourage us. Another interesting example of a different type of situation with the song is that sometimes songs are written that embody traditional views. Number 338 is an example of that. I told Bill he could pick any number of songs. There's quite a few Christmas songs in our songbooks, but number 338 is one of them. One of the things that's interesting about songs like this one is that they reflect what somebody thought was a good idea and not necessarily what the Bible says. Let me give an example. How many kings came bearing gifts to Christ? How many kings? What's the song? We three kings of Orient are. Is that in Scripture? No. It doesn't tell how many kings. As a matter of fact, if we understand who those guys probably were, they came as a caravan. So it's a whole different picture. It came upon the midnight clear as a classic example of that. Angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Do angels have harps? And are they made of gold? Well, obviously, there's a symbol there. In verse 2, it mentions angels having wings. How many times in Scripture do you see angels having wings? You think about that and you say, well, that almost never happened. Most of the time, angels were not even distinguishable. Remember the connection between Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot? But it goes on in that particular situation, and it makes reference to the word Babel. And ever o'er its Babel sounds. What's Babel? Well, that references to a city in the plain of Shinar. That's in Genesis 10 and verse 10, and again in verse 11, chapter 11 and verse 9 itself. What happened at Babel? Well, you remember your Old Testament accounts. It's where God confused the languages of men. So it's kind of interesting in that particular reference in the second stanza. And still their heavenly music floats over the weary world. Above us sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovered wing, and ever o'er its Babel sounds. The blessed angels sing. And actually, it's kind of an interesting reference, because what it says is that the birth of Christ and the life of Christ gave the world the capacity for order, a break from the confusion. Boy, is that appropriate today. One of the places we can find order and purpose and direction is in our relationship to Christ. And some songs are made just to rejoice at God's actions, and we just sang one of those. Joy to the world. Did you think about the reference to as far as the curse is found in verse 3? What is the curse? You might want to look back at number 376. and look at the context of that particular reference. And again, like the last one we talked about, there's a reference in the Old Testament. And this is in verse 3. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. What is that reference to? Remember when man sinned and was driven out of the garden? What the reference was? The ground no longer brought forth all that man needed with no complications of any kind, but also had thorns and thistles. So if you think about that for a minute, no longer sin and sorrows grow nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Boy, won't it be wonderful to be in a place and in a condition where there's no more sin. You know, it's not just your own personal sins that we struggle with as Christians. It's also what happens in the world. The abuse we see, the problems we see. In our class on Sunday morning, we were talking about Christian living. We've been dealing with issues that our world is a part of. This morning, we spent the whole hour talking about marriage. What has mankind done to God's institution of marriage? And how has it been changed? What a joy to know there will be something in our future where we don't have to be burdened with all of that stuff. There are a lot of songs that focus on the rejoicing at God's actions. In our song books, there's O Come All Ye Faithful. That's a time of joy. And we sang O Little Town of Bethlehem. Another reference to the joy we should have at God's action in the world. In your own prayers, how many times have you thanked God for what we do have? There's a lot wrong in the world, but how much good, how much beauty, how special. I've heard people say, well, we shouldn't have Christmas. And my answer to that is, look, if we can get the world to stop for just a little bit and look at the beauty of the life of Christ, it's worth doing. And some songs have added human tendencies to their message. And a classic example of that is number 577, Silent Night. It's kind of interesting as you look at those lyrics that you see all the traditions that humans have embedded. I just mentioned one of them a few minutes ago when I asked you how many wise men there were. But in Silent Night, which is actually written by a German composer back in the early 1800s, notice the reference to this. How many things are assumed in this process? The first verse is not too much of a standard, but the second verse, silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heaven's host sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born. Were the shepherds in the fields in December? And the answer to that is no. Did they see the star? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, what was the star? There's references to the star being celestial. But understand, a star cannot stand over a particular town or a particular building. So that clearly cannot be a reference to the stars that we are familiar with. And you say, well, then what was it? Well, it wasn't a celestial object. Herod didn't see it. The wise men were aware of it, but are songs that suggest that they followed the star are again a reference that cannot stand. So let me tell you about a Jewish concept that is biblical in nature, and that is what happened when the Israelites were exiting from Egypt into the promised land. And there's a reference to a pillar of fire. What did the pillar of fire do? It told Israel where to go, when to move. And they had a name for it. It was called the Shekinah glory. Moses experienced it on the mount. So, what is the claim about the Star of Bethlehem? It's not that it was some kind of universal sign. It's that there was something special about God's miraculous marking of where his son was located. So it's an interesting picture. The wise men coming from the east saw a star, but Herod did not. So who were the wise men? Well, our understanding is that the wise men were Zoroastrians. They came from the east, which was where the Zoroastrian religion was located, and they used stars as an indication of what they should pay attention to. And if you've been to a planetarium presentation in Chicago, or for that matter in Elkhart, one of the things that's pointed out is that there is good evidence at the time that the birth of Christ did occur, that there was a constellation that represented Christ, and it was located in a part of the sky called Virgo, the Virgin. So apparently this is what happened with the shepherds. They recognized something had happened, and they recognized where it was, and so they went there to follow it. The beauty of that song makes it a classic. But it's another one of those things where there's great human material added to the song itself. Some of our modern songs will become classics. I think Mary, Did You Know, which is a very modern song written by part of the Gaither group, Mark Lowry, it's going to become a classic. Mary, Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Is Leader of All Creation? When you touch your little baby's face, you touch the hand of the face of God. A lot of beautiful symbolism in that particular song. But Christmas is not a declaration of faith. Our invitation song, our closing song this morning, is number 679. You say, well, that's not a Christmas song. No, it's not. But it's a song that talks about who we are and how that brings us in unity. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Not by any tradition, not by worldly standards, but by the teachings of Christ and how those teachings modify and control the way in which we deal with life. So let's close this morning singing number 679.